Well, hello and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming along. Thank you for inviting me back once again. I must be doing something right if I've been invited back here again. How many of you have seen me before here? I know this gentleman has, two, three. Yeah, I remember your face as well. Yeah, has it been 3 years, 4 years? Gosh, it seems like yesterday, doesn't it? It's always good to be in England. One of the reasons I like coming to England is I like bacon and eggs. Yeah, who likes a bacon and eggs? Yeah, we all like. Isn't it funny? I think I don't know who invented bacon and eggs, but I was having my bacon and eggs the other day, and a good friend of mine, Al Stewart. Some of you, do you know Al Stewart? He comes over from Australia and preaches now and again, to drop a name. And he was telling me a story, remind me about the story he told me about bacon and eggs. Maybe you've heard it before. And he tells me the egg is given to us by the hen, and the hen participates in that little bit of my breakfast. And the bacon, of course, comes from the pig, and the pig doesn't just participate, but the pig is committed to that, you might say, not in a very voluntary way, but is committed. And Al tells me this is like Christians. He said some Christians, you know, they're just participants. They maybe go to church once or twice a year, three times a year, and go to the odd little thing associated with church, but the other Christians, they're usually the committed Christian. Usually the people that come to my seminars are the committed Christians. Now, we're told by Jesus it's not easy being a Christian. Hands up who thinks it's easy being a Christian. Oh, that's a good sign. Hands up those who think it's hard being a Christian. Yeah, it's a little difficult, isn't it? We all have our own reasons for that. But getting away from the bacon and egg story, it led me to Luke 9. Let me just read a little bit for you. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And I think what Jesus means here, it's not easy to follow him. So get used to being out of your comfort zone. And of course, when we do street evangelism or Christian street conversations, some people call it stranger evangelism, which is a terrible word. Don't ever use that word. It scares people. We are getting out of our comfort zone a little bit because it's a little bit, I won't use the word fearful, but one can be apprehensive. And of course, when the most scary part is when we walk up to somebody in the street, and for that first 2 seconds there, you're approaching a stranger. That person is looking at you, wondering what you want, and you're wondering how he's going to react. So there's that going on between both of you. So when you walk up to that person, you're feeling a little bit like that. Just remember, he's probably feeling the same. He might think, maybe this person's come to mug me. But no, I don't think with your friendly faces. So that's always the most apprehensive situation I think we can get into. Now, Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And I think what Jesus means here is put nothing before the Lord, put the kingdom first. And still another said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." And I think what Jesus means here is start now, don't look back. Start now. And for those who are starting today for the first time, hands up those three. One, two, three, four. Thank you for coming, ma'am. Did you just slip in? Oh, I thought so. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to reveal you. Thank you for coming. Which leads me to one of my favourite little pieces of scripture here from Romans 10. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So welcome, everybody. And who's feeling a little bit apprehensive, a little bit shaky, a little bit sort of uneasy about going out and approaching a stranger today? Has anyone not got their hand up? Because I'm putting my hand up as well. So after all these years of doing it, I still get a little bit apprehensive, which brings us to the question of fear, dare I use the word. And of course, we are created by our Lord. It's one of our emotions. It's fear, isn't it? We all get it now and again. I was thinking the other day, if we didn't have this fear emotion within us or this fear feeling within us, what would happen? We'd walk up to an alligator and say, hi there, get our arm bitten off. Or walk up to a bull and got run over. So we need this as part of our makeup. However, what happens is our imagination creeps in a lot of the time and exaggerates that fear. And this is what I feel happens with street evangelism. Ever since I've been doing these little talks, I've had to address this fear factor or apprehensive factor. And there is no silver bullet for it, I found. In the first, I started getting all these scriptures, fear not, and all these things related to fear. I thought, well, that'll ease everybody's mind. I am with you, fear not. It didn't work at all. I was still fearful. And do you know how many times in the Bible the word fear or fear not or... How many times? Anyone heard that statistic? There's a statistic goes around 366 times throughout the Bible. Fear not. Well, whatever it may be exactly, what is God telling us there? What is Jesus telling us there? Any idea? Can anyone give me a suggestion? What are you saying? Yep. Yes, not be afraid. And why is he telling us that when we are fearful people? So we know we're fearful people, but why is he saying throughout the Bible, God and Jesus tells us, fear not, don't be afraid, fear not, or related. Huh? Well, I think he's saying, trust me, because he knows we are fearful people, but he's saying, trust me, throughout the whole Bible, he's saying, trust me. And that's what it's all about, trusting. So when you go out there and you feel a little bit apprehensive as you're approaching someone, say, what have I got to worry about? I've got the Lord on my side. And he said, trust me. He said, go out, tell the people about my son Jesus, and trust me, don't be afraid. How many people feel afraid now? Come on, hands up. I know you still do. Which brings me to the story of Jesus walking on the water. I often think of this one the disciples are in the boat and Jesus is walking along the water there and it's a ghost, and gets a little close. No, it looks like, yes, it is Jesus. And of course Peter says, well, if it is you, Lord, command me to walk on the water. And Jesus said, yep, come on. So imagine Peter just stepping out over the boat and putting his first foot onto the water. They're just about to put his whole body weight onto the water and step out. How is he feeling at that moment? Well, I reckon he's feeling a little bit, But what does he do? He puts his trust in the Lord and he gets out there and he walks on the water. Do you all remember that story? So I always think of that little story when I feel, I'm sure he was really feeling a bit apprehensive before he put the whole weight of his body on the water there. Usually I get into all these different little stories now about things that I've encountered out on the streets, and I want to try and cut my talking down a little bit because we haven't got as much time as we usually have. But I just want to tell you of two incidents that have happened, and they've both happened here in England, the most outstanding responses that I have received walking up to somebody in the street. And the first one happened in Bromley, and I was walking up to a man, and I said, "Hello, my name's Jeffrey, this is John, we're from Bromley Christ Church, and we're just here today." I gave him my little rap, and he jumped straight, he said, "Listen, you," he said, "my son just committed suicide 2 days ago, and I'm still grieving." What could I answer? What could I say to that? It's only happened once, but anything can happen out there. So I didn't say, "Have a nice day," because that was the wrong word to say. I just said, "Well, sorry," and walked backwards apologetically. And one on the more humorous side. "Hey, come on, guys, don't look so common. Smile, smile. Give me a smile now." One on the more humorous side, I was out near Camden Market, a suburb next to Camden, and this guy was standing in a door, and we went up and we approached this guy, and he's sort of standing there like this, you know, very peculiar. And how's it going? "Yeah, my Jeffy, this is John. We're from the local church down the road." And he said, "Oh, look, I'm working at the moment. I work in surveillance, and even you're being watched at the moment." He said, what's this guy talking about? And it was like he was a secret agent or something, and that's what he was, apparently. He's telling us these people are watching us, and he's got an earphone in the ear there, and so on. I just couldn't believe what was going on here. You know, I've approached some agent doing surveillance there in the street, you know. And so we had to say a quick goodbye, and off we went. That was one of the more comical side of things. Look, outside there in the street, most people are okay. In fact, most people are okay. The biggest fear you'll have is that two-second thing when you walk up to someone, and even I get that now, I wonder how this person is going to react. And usually they're okay. Which reminds me, if you see a really tough guy, earrings, tatties, foaming at the mouth like a bulldog, don't just walk past him. Walk up to him. He's probably the one that needs to hear the message. And that's a mistake a lot of evangelists make. They look for the easy targets. "Oh, I won't go to him. That looks a bit..." "No, I'll go..." "Oh, there's a little old lady over there. I'll go over and talk to her." So just keep that one in mind. Now, I'm going to skip straight to just a few hints about street evangelism today. I won't have to tell you today why we should be going out doing this. Just that each year I do this, I find that people's attitudes are growing more and more secular all the time. And we need more than ever, we need street evangelists to go out and tell people about Jesus. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Can anyone give me an idea of who's going to tell the young people of today about Jesus? They don't hear it in the schools, some private schools, some Catholic schools, but overall they don't hear it. I meet so many young people, and we go up to them, and they know the name Jesus, and they know a man died on a cross, and that's all they know. They don't know the story at all. They haven't even got a clue about the story. And if we don't go out and tell the world, then they're not going to know about it. So it's essential, absolutely essential, that we grow our team. Tell your friends, "Come on, guys, nothing to worry about. It's easy," as you'll find today when you come back, with your hearts full of joy. All right, some little points on what we need to be a street evangelist. Now, if you've got any questions, just keep them for a moment, because I'm going to answer all your questions in just a moment. So now, that man there, that's the man I'm looking at. "Please, sir, could you stand up? Thank you so much. Could you just put your sunglasses on? That's it." Now, if someone came up to you with sunglasses on, would you talk to this man here like this? You can't see his eyes. It's like, "So, thank you very much. Good demonstration." No sunglasses on the street. I used to wear sunglasses all the time until I became an evangelist. Now I never wear them. It's very important to see people's eyes, and it's very important when you talk to people to look into their eyes. Because if there's anything ever going to go wrong, you'll see it coming from their eyes first. Look into the eyes directly with confidence. And, of course, the first thing we're going to do when we go, we're going to pray, put our armour on. This is the prayer I pray. It's the prayer that works for me every time. It's the prayer I recommend. Lord, lead me to the people that you would have me talk to, and give me the words that you would have me say to those people. It's very important to trust in that prayer. First year I went out doing this work, I said to my mate, Barry, you know, we never see any fruit. We go out, it's like knocking our head up against the wall. We never see any fruit. You're not supposed to see fruit. We are the seed sowers. We're just meant to drop seeds around the people, and then we're going to leave the rest up to the Lord. Take it off your shoulders. God's going to do the rest. All you're going to do is drop the seeds around the people, and we'll come to those seeds in just a moment. So when we go out, we're going to go out in twos, so you won't be on your own. Just two things to remember, two very important things, is one, you never stop somebody that's walking in the street. Never, ever stop somebody. I wonder sometimes when I see these salespeople in the street, and they're out there with their shirts on and they're ready to grab people walking down the street. I say, why do you do that? It's not the way to do it. Approach the people that are stationary. Always people that are either sitting or standing. The people walking, never say like, have you got a minute? No one's got a minute these days. Sitting or standing. And our biggest enemy, of course, these days is the phone. You get into a train these days, everyone's on the phone. 50 years ago, everyone was reading the newspaper. What's going on? So most people, when they're on their own, standing, waiting for someone, standing there, they usually are waiting for someone if they're standing somewhere, they'll more than likely be on their phone. So most likely, you'll have to disturb them. If they have earphones on, they say, oh, what's that? So, oh, how are you? How are you going today? So, but you usually have to, if we don't do these little pushy things, we're going to have two conversations out of 10 instead of 8 out of 10. And the other thing I'd ask you to consider, and this is always a little bit, of a talking point, is don't take no for an answer. Because most people are going to say no. You walk up to someone and say, my name's Jeff, it's John, we're from the St. Peter's Bay. You know that beautiful boat down at the... You don't? And what we're doing today... No, mate, don't want to talk to you. So try not to take no for an answer. So the idea is to ask them another question or a similar question, like, oh, we're not preaching today. Church is over and we're just out today asking. So rephrase, come in again. Maybe a third time if you get another no, bring your little tract out of your back pocket. Again, never carry your tracts in your hand. They can see you coming. Carry it in your back pocket. Would you mind if I give you a little booklet, or I've got a little gift for you today? That's always better if I say, I've got a little gift for you today. Close your eyes and open your hands. It always works. We're going out in twos. So again, it is so important, those two things. Never stop somebody walking, and two, don't take no for an answer. I know it's against the British way and invading my privacy. How dare you invade my privacy? But the facts are this, and it's quite easy. Once you get used to it, just come back with another question. But we're not preaching, really. We're just asking. Did your mother go to church? Did you go to Sunday school when you were young? What about your grandmother? Did they go to church? Questions all the time, and there'll always be some kind of answer. And usually, you'll find most times you'll find you'll get them talking about something. Once you start talking about something, the idea is to gain rapport with that person in the first minute, 2 minutes, and you have to then you can add the gospel when it's an appropriate time. Right, I'll start the whole talk over now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming along. Nah, how are you going? Thanks for coming. They're very important points. Now, we're going to go out in twos, always in twos, and in a moment I'm going to ask you, for those that would like to go, hands up all those that are going to go out today. Hands up all the ones that are going out. Hands up the ones that aren't going out. Okay. And I'm going to put you all into little groups of twos, and the one who, when you get together with somebody else, ask yourself, who's the better speaker? Who's got the more outgoing personality? Who could, and they should be the leader of the conversation always. So there'll always be one, or sometimes you get two with really great personalities. We can maybe split them up somewhere else. But the second person won't be talking as much because we don't want to overcrowd the person with too much knowledge. And the second person, what they can be doing, the most powerful thing they can be doing is praying with their inner voice. Who knows about their inner voice? Say hello to me with your inner voice. Thank you. So we all have it. And that is such a powerful thing. I'm talking about prayer. When we're out there, prayer, sometimes you can ask people, you know, if they're a bit, so how, do you have any problems at the moment? Or most people have something in their life not going right at the moment. Is there something we can pray for you about? Praying over a person in the street is one of the most powerful things you can do. The person will drop all their guards and they'll just surrender completely to you. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Someone asked me the other day, should I tell them about how I became a Christian? Yes, great. We're going out in twos. I never recommend people go, unless you've got a lot of experience, to go out on your own. People think you're crazy. If you're on your own, you walk up to someone and start talking about Jesus, I think, oh, this guy's crazy. But two people on their own, you never see two crazy people together. You'll be okay. So that's when you go out, make sure, how do you look as a person? Now, you know what you look like in the mirror. Are you a good-looking person? Or are you look a bit grumpy? What's your natural look like? But whatever you look like, smile when you walk up to somebody. Your whole light, face will light up and you become alive and just bring out that big smile. And think of the voice, the tone in the voice as well is very important. Because the tone in the voice, if someone's got a very low monotone voice, say, g'day, how are you going today? I'm just here talking about, what am I talking about? No, it doesn't work. So we want to have a nice little song. I mean, people sing when they talk anyway. When you think about when the French person says bonjour, they're bonjour. Yeah. How do we say good morning? Good morning. Good morning. We're singing. So the tones in the voice are very important. So two things to remember, the smile and the tone in the voice when we're approaching someone. In fact, when I walk up to someone, I like to say, hello, how you going? And they look at me and say, do I know you? And that's what I want them to say. Yeah. So if you can get it to that nice tone in the voice, that's good. Here's what I say. Now, it's very important to remember when you go up the person that's opening the conversation, what am I going to say? Memorise it. Don't be... look them in the eye. Don't bring your eyes down on the ground. Straighten the face. Hello, my name's Jeffrey and this is John and we're from St. Peter's Barge. Do you know St. Peter's Barge? Just down there. And what we're doing today is, well, we're just talking to people about their beliefs or whether they've got a philosophy or an ideal in life or perhaps you believe in men in the moon. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm giving them all these little options like that. If I just walk up to someone and say, what's your belief? Their mind can't work quick enough and they just say, oh, I don't know. They can't think. So you've got to give them those little options. Do you have a faith? Do you have a philosophy? Do you believe, be lighthearted, a little cheek, men in the moon? Do you believe in reincarnation? Now, I don't know whether it's a good idea to talk to people. Have you heard about that referendum in Ireland 2 weeks ago where they get married, two people get, what do you think about that? Yeah, so questions, always questions. The idea is to get them talking, answering. Whatever they come back to you with, whatever answer, follow their answer. So the guy says, well, no, but I smoke 20 cigarettes a day, but start talking about cigarettes. So the idea is to keep talking until you strike a point where you can get talking together and start a conversation. In other words, you're creating rapport, and once you create rapport with a person, you can talk about anything, anything at all. That's your challenge, creating rapport. And then once you get talking, they already know you're a Christian. Once you get a buddy, buddy, we're mates and that, so then we drop the content of the conversation. And the conversation, I always take from The Two Ways to Live. Has anybody read The Two Ways to Live little booklet? Yep. So basically we've got creation, sin, judgment, Jesus and his death, the resurrection, and your choice, God's way or your way. Now, how do you do that in 2 minutes? Which needs a bit of praise. What I do is I leave out the creation and I leave out the resurrection, because you're not going to get any complicated bits of resurrection into people in just a few minutes. But I always start with sin. Now, I find it's very hard to explain to people what sin is. In other words, the difference between their righteousness and the righteousness of God. Most people don't really know. So if you say to somebody, well, you know, do you think you're a good person in conversation? Well, yeah, I think I'm good, and I look after my mother and my brother, and yeah, I do the best I can in life. I've usually got to give them a little sort of demonstration or a little idea of what exactly I mean. And that is, I might say, for example, let's say you're at work and you left work 2 minutes early. You don't tell the boss. He probably owes you the time anyway. And you leave early and you sort of creep out there, and it doesn't even hit your conscience. Or you take a rubber, there's thousands of rubber bands here. One rubber band won't hurt in the pocket, and out you go. Now, in your eyes, it doesn't hit the conscience, but in God's eyes, that's stealing time. Stealing a rubber band. So your righteousness doesn't match up to God's righteousness. And they can usually see that. If we can't explain to them what sin is in the beginning, how can we tell them anything else about the gospel? They have to get a bit of an idea, the difference between their righteousness and God's righteousness. Moving from sin, we go to God's judgment, wages of sin. Again, I don't use the word hell. I don't use the word fire. I don't use the. I try not to use death. I use separation from God. So the wages of sin. So God tells us that if we sin just one time, we're going to be separated from Him. And I wouldn't like to be separated from my Creator when I cark it. And they can understand. We've got to try and talk on their level so that they understand. They're moving there, but God knows that we're imperfect people. We try to be right. Even when we try to be good, we can't be good. So what did He do? Saves us. Sends His Son, Jesus, to pay for our sin. All those who would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then I move on to your choice. So we never say, hey, this is the way you should live, this is the way I live, this is the way it should be. No. Now you know those basic seeds of the gospel, your choice. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Have you heard that story before? Probably, but it's good to refresh them with it. I'm going to take your questions in a moment, so I hope you've got a lot for me. Who's feeling a little bit apprehensive now? Up to ones. So am I. Nah, you'll love it. Remember when Jesus sent out the 70? They came back. Their hearts were full of joy, as your hearts will be when you come back. For those that haven't, for those that know street evangelism, we know exactly what I'm saying. Is it true? Well, why aren't you smiling? Okay, give us some questions, please, because we want to get moving soon for those that want to go out.
For people who are really open, what
Could you clarify that a little bit more?
So if somebody's really interested and open and goes along with everything, I've been thinking about this a while, and what's the end?
Fantastic. That's just the answer we all want. Yeah. Wow. I haven't heard this story before. This is just great. It's just wonderful. Where do you go from here? Well, I think it's good to know what goes on at the church here, all the different Bible studies and events and things that go on at the church, so you can recommend them. You need to feel your way in as far as saying, well, could we meet again sometime? I'd like to read the Bible for you. Maybe we could have a coffee and I could read the Bible and explain a few things for you. Once you start asking people for contact details, you have to play this very much by ear, by your intuition, but a lot of times they may feel, okay, I'll listen to your message, I like your message, it's good, but now you're asking me something personal to give away this, you're stepping the line. So you have to be very careful where you come there. I'm more inclined to say, well, do you know, here at the Barge, we have sessions on at such and such a time, and if you like, if you can come next week or whenever you can come, I'll meet you at the door, and I'll wait for you at the door there. If you can give me a time, you come in. I'd love to just sit with you and introduce you to a few people and give you some books and stuff and whatever you need. So, yeah, the follow-up thing is very important. It doesn't happen a lot. For those experienced street evangelists here, has it happened much for you? And this is why our job is to sow the seeds and leave the rest up to the Lord. Now, if we get that feedback where we can invite them or take them or meet them again, that's fabulous. But most of the times, you're dropping those seeds, and when you drop those seeds, you walk away and you say, right, that's it. I've left the rest up to the Lord. Don't carry the burden of anything more on your shoulders. You leave it on the Lord's shoulders, because you'll be a bit like me after a year of doing this work saying, oh, gosh, it's like we never see any fruit, Barry. We never see any fruit. Well, we're not supposed to really see it. If we see it, that's great, but this is it. Just leave it up to the Lord to do the rest. Many times I have met people in the street and I feel like the second link in the chain or the third link in the chain. Someone say, it's funny, I was just talking to someone last week. He was talking about half an hour and someone rang into you and you're saying, I'm sort of getting a message here. And this is the way the Lord works through circumstances. I remember one guy said to me once, one of my favourite lines, especially with the atheists that I meet out in the street, I say, well, look, could I just encourage you at the end of this conversation that perhaps tonight you could just go home. I know you don't believe in God or Jesus or anything. Just go home and take a little step of faith there and pray to God and challenge God and ask God to reveal himself to you. That's all. You haven't got to tell him why. He knows who you are. Ask God to reveal himself to you. So I use this line quite a lot, and it works very, very well. Something for you to remember. I ran into this guy 2 or 3 weeks later, and I didn't recognise him, as I don't recognise people that well. And he said, oh, yeah, I was talking to you a couple of weeks ago, mate. You told me to say this prayer of faith. And he says, yeah. I said the prayer and nothing happened. I said, well, what do you think I'm doing here now? And that's how it works. Oh, yeah. Gee, I didn't think of that. And that's how it works. Another question. Please.
You mentioned about having tracts with you. Do you take your Bible?
Hopefully we've got some tracts here today. Yes, we'll have some tracts. Always carry your tracts in your back pocket. If you're carrying them in your hand, you're walking up the summit. It's an advertisement for look out. Here I come. So keep it. And always at the end of a conversation, I say, look, I've got a little gift for you. If they're a nice, friendly person, I'll say, close your eyes and open your hands, and they'll go like that. And I place two ways to live in their hand, and I'll say, and depending on the person, I'll even ask them to promise me that they're going to read it. Only a few little pages there. Promise me, you're promising it? Depending on the person. So every conversation and every person is going to be different. So you can never say, that's the way I do things, and that's the way I do things. So you... you really, so for those people that are able to come out with me today will see that when I start talking to someone, depending on what that person says to me as to where I'm going with my conversation and how I'm going to reel it. Another question. Thank you. Yeah, good question. I think you must be aware all the time. In other words, stay focused all the time. It's easy when you start a conversation, gaining rapport with someone, to just get caught up. Sometimes they'll try and take over the conversation, not on purpose, because that's the sort of person they are. Stay focused. My job is to drop the seeds of the gospel. When the rapport's good, I'm going to come in. For example, what I do, I'm going to come in with sin. So whoever's with me will say, whoop, Jeffrey's coming in with the word sin. He's on the roll now. It's like rolling it. He knows after that sin, judgment's coming next, Jesus coming next, and then your choice. That's how it's going to be. Now, the timing thing is, again, you can never time it. Usually I'll have about four conversations an hour, depending on, you know, as long as I can go find people in the street. Because, as I say, you go out in the street, the first thing we're going to do when we hit the street is look for someone doing nothing. Do you know how hard that is these days? Find someone doing nothing, usually they'll be on their phone. So you disturb them. As long as they're not actually talking, if they're just fiddling like this, that's sort of, hey, how you going? Yeah, it's okay, they won't bite you, it's all right. But you'll need to do that these days, because that's the world we live in. But there is also a time to end the discussion. Don't overcrowd them with too much, you know. Give them that basic thing there, and you really need to judge it. But don't go overboard too much. Just feel it as you think there. Because I think you go overboard, you do more damage than good there. Just put it right there. What am I going to leave that person that's positive? Doesn't matter who they are, what faith they are or what they believe in. What can I leave that person with before I leave that's positive? That's your challenge. Should you accept to accept it? What's that Mission Impossible thing? Anyway, another question. Ma'am.
Do you always help people who are by themselves?
Who?
Yes.
And I'll tell you why. Sometimes I'll go up for two, sometimes I'll go up, but most times I'm aiming for someone by themselves. If there was someone else, whether it be their partner, their wife, their mate, or whoever it may be, they're not going to reveal themselves as easily with somebody else. Even with their trusted wife, you know, you start talking to the guy about his inner beliefs, his inner feelings, his inner convictions. You know, the wife doesn't know a lot of these things, and he's not going to spill them. So, yeah, hopefully by themselves. And yet, even though you're in twos, they will reveal themselves to you. This is one thing that most people find astounding when they first go out, that people actually reveal themselves to you and this other person, strange that they don't even know. So, yes,
How do you deal with indifference? I think one of the most difficult ones to have is just make someone completely indifferent.
Hey, give a little bit more transparency on that.
Oh, do you have any people who believe in God? You know, no kind of answer.
Yeah, or by the sound of it, it's like, yeah. Help them sort of decide on something. So it seems like if someone came to me like that, it'd be like, well, they don't quite know where to go. I said, well, would you describe yourself as an agnostic? Do you think there's some kind of God or some kind of power in the universe? So whatever that person replies to you, you've got to go with it. Someone comes and says, I'm a Satanist. I believe in Satan. That's what I do. What do? You say, well, that's interesting. Do you have a church? Do you sing at your church? Yeah, punk songs, that's what we do. We smash the place up, mate, that's what we do. Well, how interesting, I've never heard of it. Follow what they say, no matter what they say. For you meet a Muslim in the street, so easy. Muslims say, oh, wonderful, I believe in the Quran, they talk about Jesus. In fact, he's same as Muhammad. Jesus, respected prophet. So you get a little conversation going. Meet a Hindu. It's like, oh, you're so lucky, you've got thousands of gods, we've only got one. So you'll get a little repertoire of these, you know, different people you meet in the street and so on.
if someone says that they are a Christian?
Yeah, good question. You can tell within three questions or so where they are in their Christian walk. So I walk with someone and say, oh, yeah, and say, oh, it's all right, mate, I'm a Christian. Oh, great, that's good. It's the first one I met all day. What church do you go to? And then the truth starts to come out. So they're like, well, you know, church up around the corner up there, sort of there. I can't remember the name now. It's up there, you know. Whatever it may be. So one question. Do you read the Bible much? Do you pray much? What do you think of prayer? Three or four questions, you'll know exactly. And then what do? You encourage them in their Christian walk. Maybe they're one of those participant Christians. And we get a lot of those. They just write when they... Sometimes they just write C of E on forms, and that's about the closest they get to the Lord. Yeah, another one. Yeah.
We came across
Jewish
sometimes.
Jews?
Yeah,
so yes, I know. I agree with you, I agree. In Australia, when we're on the streets, very rarely do I meet Jewish people, but I know over here, it's quite often you can meet Jewish people. And the ones that I have met here, you're right, they're a little bit, they're hard. They're hard. But yeah, just go always to the gospel. Whenever you're in trouble with anything, if there's ever a question you can't answer, always go to what you do know. And what do you know? You know about Jesus. That's what you go to all of that. That's what you know. That's what you're out there preaching is what you know that, which is in your heart. Whenever you get something that's a little bit hard, just come back to change the subject and go straight back. Doesn't matter being a bit rude. That's all right. They're probably rude anyway. Straight back to the gospel. Do you think Jesus was really the Son of God? Whatever you like to say, but come back to the gospel all the time in some kind of an emergency like that. What do I make of Jewish people? Yeah. I'll let God decide that one. But yeah, I know what you mean. Thank you.
How would you approach it?
Yeah, thank you. I have never done door to door, and when I think of doing door to door, I think it's probably more difficult than going out onto the street and meeting coal. The reason why is because as I see it, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm knocking on someone's door, I'm opening this screen door, and I'm pretty well invading their private home, their house. On the street, I'm not. On the street, it's pretty well anybody's land out here. But that's what I feel about it. So I have no experience at door to door, and I know probably a lot of you have. But no, I can't really comment on that.
I think just one experience we had doing this at another church bar in Bristol is we didn't do door to door evangelism, but we did door to door, just knocking and saying we've got church service going on down the road, giving them an invite.
Yep. Again, it's like everything, isn't it? It's the way you present yourself, the words you say to a people. And this is why I'll come back now to when I approach people, I'll go through it again so you can remember it or write it down. It's always worked for me. It's worked for all the people I've told them. Basically, little twinkle in your eye. If you're good at telling jokes, tell a little joke. Remember, the idea is they want to think, this guy's a Christian, but he's all right. He's got a sense of humour. He's all right. I don't mind talking to him. He's all right. Once you get to that state, you can talk about anything. But you've got to get to that point in the beginning. And you know what the British are like. They can be a little, they have this reputation to be a little bit, what's the word, reserved, is it? That's what they say. But I find you just got to tickle them a little bit. Come on, that's all right. Oh, all right then. Look, people are okay. The fear thing is in most, it's in your imagination, really. It's in your imagination. And we're built like that as people. Just go up there, just remember the Lord's with you. You've got absolutely nothing to worry about. Let me just come back to when we open. Hello, my name's Jeff. This is John. And we're from St. Peter's Bay. It's just down, just down there by the, you don't know it? Oh, it's just down by, you know, the Wetherspoons pub. Well, you know that. Of course you would. Talking about sin. I've never heard that word sin mentioned in a pub lately. Have you? So, have you been sinning lately, mate? No, you only hear it in church, don't you? When I use the word sin, I'll come up and say, I'll open with something like, depending again on the person, but most people I'll have to say, you know that old-fashioned word sin? You don't hear it very much in the pubs these days, but it's like, you know, the Bible, that sin. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Keep it light all the time. It's very important to keep things light as you open up. Once you start talking in a serious way and they think you're preaching, once they think you're preaching, that's it, they'll run or you'll run. So, yeah, hello, my name's Jeffrey, this is John, we're from St. Peter's Basin. What we're doing today is we're just talking to people about their beliefs, whether you have a faith or you believe you have a philosophy, or some people believe in reincarnation. While you're saying this, the guy's thinking, oh, well, I didn't go to church when I was young. And he'll, yeah, and come back with an answer, yeah. But give them that space, give them a few little different ideas where to lead them, as what faith means or what belief means or what a philosophy or an ideal means. And it gives their time for their mind to work. If I just say, what do you believe in? If you go up to someone, what do you believe in? They've got to think from that. Well, gee, what do I believe in? Give them that little opening then. And then they'll come back that. You answer back as to whatever they asked you. Follow what they're talking about. Keep on line with that. They know you're a Christian right from the start. So when you come up with the sin thing, they know, they're not surprised because they know you're a Christian. There's no shock there, see? It's nice and easy. And you've gained the rapport. By that time, you bring in the sin thing. You go straight from sin to Jesus. And then God said, if you sin one time, just one time, you're in trouble. We're all in trouble. Yes? Yes.
We put a lot of them
knocking doors. Yes, I know. I had a girlfriend once that was a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of her. She kept knocking on my door. And of course we go out in twos as well. But were you going to continue on that or? Yeah.
So they're always putting you in trouble.
Yeah.
I start to be straight away to tell them what I believe.
Yes.
Believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior.
That's it.
Straight away. Because I know they will go and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And they start to preach you after that. As you said, we have to cut it.
Yeah.
Not to go more and more.
Yeah. What do I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah, how we deal with them straight away.
How we deal with them, yeah. Or how we deal with
Jesus Christ, our Savior, or we give them the chance to talk because they will never stop.
Well, I don't think it's good for any street evangelist to get into any kind of arguments or proofs or, you know, apologetics, defense of the gospel. You're out there for a short time, and I find every time, and sometimes I'll go out with other people and they just like to have a little bit of a, yeah, well, we're right because of this and we're right because of this. It never gets anywhere. Ever, ever, ever will it ever get any. Don't ever try and defend it. Just go to the gospel and just drop the seeds, because any kind of, you know, defense of the gospel arguments, well, we're right because, and we're right because, and what about this? It doesn't work. It never works. On the street, it never works. First of all, there's no time for it, and even if there was time for it, even if you were there for an hour, you'd still get nowhere. It wouldn't get anywhere. So stay away from it. Our job is to drop the seeds of the gospel. Tell people what Jesus has done. That's our job. Tell Jesus, that's what he commanded us to do. He said, go out, tell the nations. And that's it. And then leave the rest up to him. Don't go away thinking, oh, I should have done this and I should have said that. No, you've said enough. Once you've walked away, that's what the Lord wanted. He'll do the rest. If he wants to, he'll do the rest. Don't worry about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Just go and drop seeds. Because we don't have a lot of time to do it in. Most conversations, Some are 3 minutes. I get some guy who smokes and says, mate, you got till I finish this cigarette butt to tell me. I says, you're on, buddy. No, so they're short conversation. And again, you don't want to overload them with too much at the same time. So there's a, it's good to have that. Remember, you know, what order you're going to drop things in. Sin. Explain sin. Judgment. What Jesus has done. They're the three basic ones. And then, what do you think of that? If it's a real story, it's really something to think about. It's really, if this is real, I know you don't believe it, but if it is real, it's really something you should consider. I mean, just imagine if you cark it. You cark it tonight, and suddenly you find yourself walking in the fog, you're dead. And you don't know where you are. And suddenly a big voice comes down and says, John! You look up and say, oh, there is a God. And he says to you, well, did you accept my rescue package? He can't say no because he's already spoken to you today. So don't put it off. Come on, another question. Who's ready to go now? Is everybody fired up? Give me a... Yeah. No charismatic stuff here today. Any more questions? So anybody got any worries about anything? Nothing to worry about, is there? Yes.
I don't know if that's
Depends how you feel. In this modern day, if you'd have asked me that 40, 50 years ago, it was always women go to women and men go to men, for obvious reasons. These days, we're in such a... I don't think it makes a lot of difference. Again, depending on your age, I can go to anyone. No one's going to, you know, bother too much about it. If I'm a young, good-looking guy, and I'm, well, it might be another story. But it depends again. So if you're two girls together, say, or, well, if you're a guy and a girl going out, it doesn't matter who you approach, but if two girls together, if you feel better just going and talking to women, then do that. But if not, talk to the guys. You'll be okay talking to guys. No problem. Okay. Well, it's getting near that time, 3 o'clock. What time do we have to finish today, Mark?
We have to start
4. 4. Who wants to stay till 8 o'clock tonight? No, I'm joking. So we haven't got a lot of time. Now, normally we go out here and over the bridge and sort of around looking for people. I didn't notice as many people today as usual, but maybe that is usual. We're going to get together in teams. Anyone who hasn't got a partner... just let me know and we'll partner them up. So just remember, first thing you do, you walk out there together, walking down the street. I'm looking for someone that's not doing anything. Can't say, well, that guy almost will say he's not doing anything. He's just mucking about with his phone. Right, I'll go over to him. So, hello, how are you today? My name's Jeffrey, this is John. We're from St. Peter's Barge. And what we're doing today is we're just talking to people about belief or faith. Or do you have a faith or... do you believe in something? Or do you throw a little thing like, do you believe in men in the moon? Reincarnation? And then come back to faith again. Do you have a faith? Oh, no. Well, when I was young, I used to sing in the choir in the Catholic church. Oh, that's good. Well, do you still do that? Questions. Get the questions going. Every time you ask a question, you always get an answer. Yep. Are we going to have time to come back for a debrief, do you think? It's very useful.
Should we go out for slightly less than... we normally go for an hour, but if we said we
half
an hour or so...
Yeah.
And come back and debrief.
Or, say, 45 minutes. Because, if we can do 2 or 3 conversations, it's for the experience of seeing what sort of feedback you're getting, so you can come back and we debrief, and that way we can inspire each other with the wonderful stories that have happened and the fearless situations we've gotten ourselves into.